Welcome to Sozo. I mean what I said, whether it's your first time here or it's your 100th time here, Jesus loves you and we love you and we're so happy that you guys are here with us. We are a youth group that meets together to seek the Lord's face. We want to grow together, and so we're so thankful that you guys are here willing to grow with us. If you showed up today, it shows us that you're willing to grow, and we're thankful for that. So let's just go ahead and open up in prayer. Jesus, we give you complete control of this service. We say that this entire service is centered around your name, God, not around what we want, but around what you want to do in our lives. And I just ask that you would anoint me to preach your word, God, and that every single seed that comes out of my mouth would take root in the hearts of these youth and young people, Jesus, and that our lives would forever be the same, that we would respond to your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today I want to talk about a story that we see in the Bible. Actually, two stories. Two men who encounter Jesus. They come face to face with Jesus. And they have very different reactions. They have very different responses to their encounter with Jesus. They both had an encounter. They both looked Jesus right in the eyes. And they both came to Jesus. But they had very different responses. And we'll look at that right now. And I want to go ahead and go to our main text, which is going to be in Luke. Luke chapter 18. And the title of my sermon today is Give Up Your One Thing. Give up your one thing. And we're going to go to Luke 18. And this is not a parable. This is a true story. This really happened. Thousands of years ago, there was a man who came up to Jesus. And it was recorded by a couple of his disciples. We see this story in Luke, and we see this story in Mark, and I believe Matthew as well. A couple of disciples talked about this young man because they were all there, and they all wrote about it. So I'm going to turn to Luke's account today, Luke 18, chapter 18, and we're going to go ahead and start at verse 18. And it says, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young." He's saying, I've already done all these things, Jesus. I'm already good. I got everything you're asking me to do. I've already done it. Have you ever had a teacher or your mom and dad, and they're like, "Have you cleaned your room?" And you're like, "Yes, I already did it." You know, and you got some attitude about it. You got some sass about it because you know they thought you didn't do it. And you're like, "I did it already." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So that's what this young ruler, he's like, "Oh, you want me to not murder? You want me to not talk bad about my mom and dad? You want me to not falsely testify? You want me to not lie? I've already been doing those things, Jesus." And he thinks he's going to get a pat on the back because he's like, "Okay, what do I need to do?" Jesus tells him what he needs to do, and he's like, "Oh, I'm good. I've been doing all these things for a long time." He says, "I've been doing all these things since my youth." And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. I want to talk about how Jesus, even though you got all the right things going on in your life sometimes, like I said, there's five things he told him. He said, don't lie, don't commit sin against your parents, don't commit adultery. Jesus does not notice all of the good things you got going on in your life. I mean, congrats. But Jesus will always point out the one thing that you are holding back from him. Because Jesus wants the one thing in your life that is above him, the one thing in your life that is holding you back from following him completely. And when I look about this text, I'm actually kind of astounded because Jesus said, "Leave all of your earthly possessions and follow me." There's 12 disciples. Jesus literally could have had a 13th disciple right here. He literally said, "You can be part of my inner posse. You can be part of my inner homies. You can literally learn like all these 12 other guys are learning from me. You think I'm a good teacher? That's awesome. Why don't you come right alongside me?" And he tells them the one thing, but the one thing is not what he wants to hear. How many times do we say, God, I want you. Tell me what I need to do in order to improve my life. Tell me what I need to do to have joy. Tell me what I need to do to have satisfaction. And then the Holy Spirit tells you, and you don't want to do it. Because it's the one thing that is holding you back. And I'm telling you, the same Jesus, the word says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who challenged this man and saw the one thing that he was holding that he wouldn't let go of is the same Jesus that would ask you and me, the one thing that you refuse to let go of is what I'm asking you to give up. Because I'm glad you're going to church, honey boo-boo. I'm real glad that you have a Bible app. I'm real glad that you maybe go to your Christian club on campus. Those are all, fine and dandy. But you need to stop sleeping with your boyfriend. You need to stop sleeping with your girlfriend. You need to stop using your anxiety as an excuse to smoke weed on the weekends. You need to let go of those friends who are influencing you to drink. You need to let go of that porn addiction. You need to let go of the areas of your life that are not putting me first. Because Jesus will always spot the one area that you don't want to give him. And that's the title of today's sermon, Give Up Your One Thing. And he will always look at that one area that you have not surrendered. In Mark's account, in Mark 10:17, we see this exact same story where Mark is telling this same story of how this rich young ruler came up to Jesus. And in Mark's account, he's a little more detailed. He says that as Jesus was on his way out of Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, "Good teacher." He literally came running to him and he knelt before him. You guys, eagerness does not equate to willingness. A lot of the time, we're eager to go to youth camp. Oh, I can't wait for this youth camp. I can't wait to go to Sozo. I'm ready to get a word from the Lord. We're eager. We jump. We run. We do a lap around the entire sanctuary. We might even kneel before God. We might even listen to an entire sermon. We might even ask God, "Hey, God, what's the area of my life that I haven't surrendered to you?" But if we are not willing to, when the God of the universe tells us the one thing that we lack, then the eagerness of to jump, to run, to kneel, to listen, to even ask is all meaningless. Because this rich young ruler had eagerness to run and ask, but yet it said that he walked away sad because he had great riches. A lot of us want eternal life. We want Jesus. We want the joy. We want the fruits of the Spirit. I want to be joyful. I want to be fulfilled. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. But the rich young ruler, he wanted eternity with the guarantee that he could keep everything he had on earth. He didn't want to subtract what he had on earth. He's like, no. I want eternal life on top of what I already got here. And Jesus said, it doesn't work that way, homie. And Jesus tells that to us today. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work where you can have eternal life but still do life the way that you want to do it. The word says that we give up our life for the great exchange. He gave his life so that we could have eternal life. But that's an exchange process. That means that Jesus, take the wheel. I give up control of my life. But we don't want to hear that truth. And that's how a lot of churches today in America, that's what the masses believe. A large majority of our country is Christian. Well, they're not living out their Christianity because they want eternal life added on to the way that they're living. Not eternal life to give up their old way of living. They don't want to make an exchange. They just want the guarantee of salvation. And then the sad thing for me is this rich young ruler, he was a rich young ruler, a rich young influencer. He was like the big person on YouTube right now who's making millions of dollars, who's maybe good looking, got lots of influence, making maybe $50,000 a month on ad revenue. He's got clout, he's got influence, he's got riches, and he even thinks he has spirituality. Because he goes to Jesus and he says, I've been doing all these things. Just tell me the one thing I need to improve on, because I'm not guaranteed into heaven, so can you tell me how I get that? And I was at Disneyland the other day, and I was sitting down eating a caramel apple, because caramel apples from Disneyland are the best caramel apples, because you're in the magical best place on earth, so everything tastes better when you're at Disneyland. I don't know the science behind it. I don't know what to tell you. For some reason, cotton candy, corn dogs, all of the cheap food they sell me for overpriced tastes better. And I always buy it, because a caramel apple with two marshmallows on top to make it look like Mickey ears, for some reason, tastes better in my mouth. So I'm at Disneyland, I'm eating a caramel apple, and all of a sudden, this this group of people sit next to me, and they got the Disneyland security all next to them. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm eating my caramel apple, and I hear these young girls around me, they're maybe like 12 or 13, and they're like, that's a famous YouTuber. And I'm like, oh, so you need security if you're a famous YouTuber? Okay, whatever. And so when I'm reading this story, I imagine this rich young YouTube influencer coming to Jesus. And Jesus tells him, the very thing that is giving you all this satisfaction on earth, which is your riches. Here's what boggles my mind, is that he has riches, he has influence, he has clout, yet he knows he's missing something. Otherwise, he wouldn't go to Jesus in the first place. He knows that there is something internal, something like a hole in his soul, where he knows if I die, I'm not guaranteed. I don't know what's going to happen. So he goes to Jesus with this genuine curiosity. But like I said, this genuine curiosity, you might be curious for the king of the universe. You might say, oh, I'm not sure if God's real or not. You know, and you might have, like I said, an eagerness to come to youth group. But that has to be measured with willingness. Because it says that when Jesus told him, you have to sell all of your stuff. Can I make a clarification? God has no problem with you having stuff. He has a problem with stuff having you. So that's what's going on in this rich person's life. And, you know, don't believe a lie. If you ever hear someone say that Jesus wants you to be poor, Jesus was poor, and you can't be a Christian if you're not poor. That's not true. I could point to Job, who has lots of riches, Solomon, who had lots of riches, David had lots of riches. There's plenty of men of God. Abraham had lots of riches. There's plenty of men of God who had lots of money, and they were blessed. And that doesn't mean... I've actually seen on Twitter, someone reposted that they took a scripture out of context. They put, money is the root of all evil. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. So that's what's going on in this rich young ruler's life. He loves his earthly possessions more than he loves the thought of following Jesus. And I don't think that there's any 14, 15, 21-year-old in this room who's a millionaire. If there is, then you're doing a really good job of hiding it. So I don't think that earthly riches, being a millionaire is your problem and not wanting to give them all up to the poor. But I don't know what your one thing is. But Jesus knows, and I guarantee you know what the one thing is. I remember being a teenager. I don't share my personal testimony very often on the microphone, but I, from the ages of 13 to 15, I was going to church, but to be honest, I truly didn't believe in God. Like, I was coming, I would even come to prayer. I didn't want to tell the people around me I didn't believe in God, because I'm the pastor's daughter, and I didn't want to start an uproar, so I still raised my hands, and I still did the things I knew I needed to do in order to not rock the boat too hard. But I definitely did not have faith or trust in God in those years. And I remember being 15 and a half, going to a youth camp, experiencing God, and then going back to this one thing that was in my life. There was one thing that I wasn't willing to let go of. And it came to the point where I knew if I wanted to follow Jesus, I had to let go of that one thing. But I struggled with it for years, guys. Years. And there came a day when I just said, you know what, Jesus? Here's my one thing. Take it. Because I want to follow you 100%. Do you see, when we hear the truth of the Word of God, sometimes it's not always going to be happy. When Jesus tells you, you need to stop having sex outside of marriage, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be like, yippee, okay, easy. No. But godly sorrow is supposed to lead to repentance. It's okay to be sad about giving up your sin because sin is pleasurable for a season. But you should not be like this rich young ruler who's sad and then walks away sad and does not make a change. So be sad for a season, but then realize that you are now part of the inner circle of what this young man could have had. He wasn't willing to give it up. And I am imploring you, the one thing in your life, figure it out. I pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to speak it to you right now. Because I don't know, but I know that you guys know what your one thing is. And maybe you're like, Shayla, I don't got any one thing. I've already given it all. Good. I hope that's true for everyone in the room. But for a while, I was going to church and I still had one thing. And that can't hold us back. Amen? I think that sometimes the reason we don't want to give up our one thing is because we have FOMO. Do you guys know what that is? I just learned it. I was in Chicago last month. I just found out what FOMO was. I was at a restaurant eating deep dish pizza. Bless the Lord for deep dish pizza. I didn't know that there was a pizza that was literally 90% cheese. Like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Like, the sauce on top, but cheese on the bottom and just thickness? That is, can we reinvent pizza? Like, can that just be, okay, anyways. So, so good. I'm eating my deep dish pizza, and I look on the screen, and there's Ellen DeGeneres, and she's got a quiz show, and she asks her three contestants, hey, what is FOMO? And everyone knew it, and I didn't, and I was like, I feel dumb, like, what's FOMO? And I turn to my cousin, I'm like, what's FOMO? And she's like, aren't you supposed to be a youth pastor? Shouldn't you know all these terms? And I was like, sorry, I don't know what FOMO is. FOMO is fear of missing out. I think that sometimes we're not willing to give up our one thing and we walk away sad. Even though we came eager, we walk away sad because we have this fear that if I give God my all, I'm going to miss out on my party years. Like, Shayla, I'm 18. I turn 21 soon. I want to know what it's like to go out to the clubs and drink and be hit on and have guys, hey, and you are afraid of missing out on that. You're like, Shayla, I don't want to give up my sexuality because, like, I want to explore a little bit. You have a fear of maybe missing out. You have a fear of missing out on experimenting with drugs or experimenting with peers or whatever it happens to be. But let me just turn the tables a little bit. Fear of missing out. You should have a fear of missing out what God has for you. Because the fear of missing out, the enemy is using against you to tell you you're missing out on something. This is the same lying deception that he gave to Eve in the very beginning. This is Satan's number one trick. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. He told Eve, God is holding something back from you. Eat this apple. Eat this fruit. Because Satan told her, God's holding something back from you. And her fear of missing out on something better than what she had, which, by the way, she had it all. The enemy lied to her. He's the same trick and the same lie and that same spirit of FOMO that the enemy is trying to use on our generation to tell us that you are missing out on something if you give your all to Jesus. And I just want to say that is a lie from the pit of hell. You are not missing out on anything. If you were here on Sunday, you heard Beckett's testimony where he had reached the elevation of what he wanted in his career. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to have influence. He wanted to be able to be on the top, and he wanted to find true love. And he's looking, and he's at all of these Hollywood parties, and he's just swimming in Drew Barrymore's pool, and he's having lunch with all these celebrities, and he's at all of these fashion show after parties, and he has it all, and he realizes, I'm missing out on something else. And that something else he encountered when he walked into a church service and he felt the power of the Holy Spirit and he was redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Don't take my word for it. Type in Christian testimonies on YouTube. You will find dozens. Testimony after testimony after testimony. I was a Satanist. I was an atheist. I was a stripper. I was whatever it happens to be. A lot of these people have done all of these things, but you should be fearful of, what am I missing out on? I'm 16. What am I missing out on bringing revival to my high school? Am I missing out on reaching my family and getting my family saved? I remember being, like I said, 15 and a half, and then I remember and giving up that one thing, and then years later, that one thing wanted to come back into my life. That one thing wanted to come back into my life. And I remember the Holy Spirit just telling me, you're going to miss out on what I've called you to do. The greatest opportunity, if you continue to fool around with this one thing, you will miss the thing that I have for you. And that is the biggest tragedy of them all. If the enemy can convince you that life on earth with whatever sin is in your life is better than eternal life with Jesus, he's got you. And don't let him get you. Do not let him deceive you. You should have FOMO. You should have fear of missing out on what God has for you, not fear of what the world has for you. Matthew 10:39 says that if you cling to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for me, for Jesus, you will find it. So let's continue reading in this story. We're not even done, guys, with this story of the rich young ruler. So we read up to verse 23. Now let's read from 23 to 29, if you guys can get that on the board for me. So it says, when Jesus saw this, and this is him walking away. It says that he walked away, and he walked away very sad because he had lots of riches. So when Jesus saw this, he said, how hard is it for a rich to enter the kingdom of God? In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. You guys know what an eye of a needle is, right? Have you ever put thread through a little needle? A camel. It's harder for a camel to fit through one of those suckers than for a rich person. It's easier to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? And he replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. And let's just pause there. I want to talk about that. Why were people so confused? Why were they like, whoa, whoa? Most of the people around Jesus were probably poor, right? So you're thinking, why were they like, then who can be saved? They should be like, oh yeah, rich people are going to hell. We're going to heaven. Woohoo, we're poor. We got it. The reason that they asked, they were so confused by Jesus' statement, is because during this time, rich people were looked at as more spiritual than poor people. Because if you were rich, That means that God is giving favor on your life. God has blessing on your life. So rich people equated to spirituality and to holiness. So they see Jesus telling a rich person, it's hard to get into heaven. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If the holiest people can't get into heaven, because they're rich and they're holy, how are us poor people going to make it into heaven? And Jesus is flipping the script, because that's what Jesus does. He's saying, no, 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 it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with money. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God. He's saying it's not about your money, how much money you have. It's about if you are willing to take up your cross and follow me. That's what it's about. It's not about who's got more money, who's got more influence. It's whether you have a little to lay down or a lot to lay down. Are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to lay it down? And there's some people in the room where you have so much good things going on in your life. Maybe you just graduated from high school. You just got accepted into the college that you want to go to. Maybe you just got a new hot girlfriend or boyfriend. Whatever it happens to be, you just got a new apartment. You just transferred to a new school. And you might be thinking, God is blessing me because I have good things going on in my life. Just because you got good things going on in your life does not mean that God is pleased with you. And that's the lie that these people believed. They believed that rich people were pleasing to God because they were rich. Just because you are good right now does not mean God is pleased with you. You know that God is pleased with you when you know that you know that you know that you have given him everything. That you have given him everything. Peter said, we've left our homes to follow you. Yes, Jesus replied. And I assure you that everyone who has given out a house or a wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come. This life and in the world to come. Once again, going back to FOMO, do not let the enemy convince you that you're missing out on something on this life. And then because of that, then you'll have eternity one day. God wants you to give up the one thing and you will be blessed in this life and in the age to come. I promise you, if you give up that loser boyfriend who doesn't love God, God is going to repay you with a man of God. I promise you that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is not going to ask you to give up something so that you can have a miserable life. He's asking you to give it up because he loves you and because he cares about you. He's asking you to give up that weed that you use to medicate your anxiety because he wants to give you true peace. Because he wants to give you true joy. I promise you. let's go ahead and go to our next person. So we talked about how we're going to look at two people. We looked at this rich young ruler. He walks away sad. And unfortunately, godly sorrow is supposed to lead to repentance. And it didn't lead to repentance, at least from what we can see in this text. It doesn't look like he gave up his life to follow God. He walked away sad and he didn't do anything. Now there's another man in the very next chapter. So this is Luke 18. I don't think it's an accident that this is in the very next chapter. Luke 19, we see a man under the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is also very rich. And Zacchaeus also has a lot of influence because he's a tax collector. And back in those days, tax collectors were very feared because they had all this power. They were able to steal from people. That's how they made their money, really. In that type of economy, in order to get rich, you had to steal from someone. It wasn't a capitalistic economy where everyone can get a piece of the pie. It was like, if you want a bigger piece of the pie, you have to steal for someone else. So Zacchaeus is a rich man, and he's a rich man because he's been a very selfish, greedy man. And he's been a thief, and he's stealing from people in taxes. And so he's very rich because of this. And it says that Zacchaeus, let's go ahead and read, it's a short time, let's just zoom through it. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in his region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to oversee the crowd. He was a little guy. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he said, he called by name, Zacchaeus, he said. Now, I don't know how Jesus knew his name. Maybe he had heard about Zacchaeus, or maybe it's just because Jesus was God, and he just knew his name. But if I was a little short guy, and I was in a tree trying to just get Jesus' attention, and Jesus all of a sudden calls me by name, I'd be pretty excited. So that's what happens here. He says, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now let's look at these two men. One of them, when Jesus tells him his one thing, he says, I don't want to give it up, and he walks away sad. The other one, Jesus calls out and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. And he has not just an eagerness, but such a willingness to change that Jesus doesn't even have to point out the one thing. Because he's already like, Jesus, I know that I've stolen from people. As a matter of fact, every person that I've stolen from, I'm going to give them four times back. And I'm willing to give up my riches to the poor. And he does it with excitement and with joy. Because even though it was probably convicting and saddening for him to hear that he had to give up his riches, he was excited and he was joyful because he knew that if that means that I get to follow the king of the universe from here on forward, I'm willing to do it. And that's the difference between these two men. They both have an encounter with Jesus. They both are very rich. They both are asked to give it up. And only one of them is willing to do it. And the other one walks away sad. And there's many different translations, but all of them are telling us that he was either joyful or excited or that he welcomed him greatly. We see a lot of positivity coming from Zacchaeus. So I want to wrap up the message with what it really boils down to for us in our everyday life. What is going to make the main factor between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler for us? Let's go back to our Luke story. And can we go to Luke 18, verses 18 and 19? This is where I think we find the key of how to be a Zacchaeus and not the rich young ruler. Here's where we're going to find the answer. Here's where we're going to find the truth, how we can make that change in our life. It's in the beginning of the rich young ruler story. In verses 18, it says, the rich young ruler said, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says back to him in verse 19, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. Only God is truly good. That is the key. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher. And Jesus says back to him, why do you call me good? Because only God is good. He's saying to the rich young ruler, I am God and I am good. But do you believe that I'm good enough? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves tonight. Do we believe that God is good enough to give up that one thing? Because actions follow belief. Actions follow belief. And so I've been raised in church. I know we all like to say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And we say, God is good. And you see, you know, we post it on our Facebooks, on our Instagram stories. And we say, God is good. I love God. God, God, God. He's awesome. I love him. But do we truly believe in our heart of hearts that God is good? Because I think what we do sometimes is we say God is good, but we don't really believe it. Because if we believed God was truly good, then we wouldn't have this doubt. We wouldn't have this fear of, I don't want to let go of my one thing. Because we don't believe that God is good enough. God isn't good enough to heal my anxiety. That's why I need that weed. God isn't good enough to fulfill me. That's why I need that boyfriend or girlfriend. God isn't good enough to be able to help my loneliness. That's why I need porn. God isn't good enough. Yeah, I think he's good, but he's not good enough for me to give up my one thing. In our Christian circles, we would never say that out loud. I don't think anyone's going to church and saying, Pastor, I don't think Jesus is good enough. No, that's not the Christian thing to say. But we say it with our actions every single week. When we choose to hold on to that one thing, and we walk away sad, and we kneel before him, and we cry out to him, but we walk away sad because he's not good enough. He's a good teacher, but not good enough to let go of my stuff. And I would implore you, I would beg you even, to believe today that Jesus is good enough to give up those things. Because like I said, you can go on YouTube and type in Christian testimonies and you will hear people after people after people. Talk to the pastors in this church. Talk to the youth leaders in this church. Talk to the people in this church who have gotten saved, and they will tell you Jesus is good enough. It took me years to figure it out. Let it go. But once I did, I realized he was. And I regret the years that I was afraid to hold, I was afraid to let go of my one thing. And I promise you, there are people even in this room tonight who wished that they would have given it to him 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 3 years ago, last year. So we're starting 2020, guys. You have the rest of this year. You have 11 more months in the entire year. And I'm asking you to make sure that in those 11 months, you don't waste it. Give it all up to God. Give him that one thing. And the only thing I'm going to do right now, instead of having an altar call or anything like that, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us right now what our one thing is. Like I said, I gave away my one thing when I was almost turning 16, but it tried to pop up its ugly head again when I was 18, and I still have things that try to pop up their ugly heads. And it's an everyday choice to lay it down and say, no, Jesus, you are good enough. So whether you have one major thing or you have something popping back up in your life that's tempting you, I just want the Holy Spirit to point that out to you. I love the quote that Beckett said by Billy Graham, that it is God's job to be the judge and it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and it's our job to love. So right now, the Holy Spirit's job right now is to convict. Convict is not guilt. Guilt is meant to bring you shame and make you feel bad. Conviction is supposed to lead you to repent. So I just pray, I just want us all to close our eyes and bow our heads right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do your job, that you would convict us right now. Convict us right now, Jesus. Holy Spirit, please show us the areas of our life that are the one thing that might be holding us back. You know that we know that you want everything, Jesus, but there might be one specific thing that we're holding on to. And we say and we claim that Sozo wants to be like Zacchaeus and not the rich young ruler. We want to hear the truth and walk away with joy and excitement because we know we want to make a change. We don't want to be hypocrites that say one thing. We want to believe that you are good enough, Jesus. We want to believe that you are doing a miracle in our lives. We want to believe that you are good enough for us, Jesus. And I ask that every single youth, every single young person, every single young adult in this room would know what that one thing is by the time that they walk out of this service. That your Holy Spirit would speak. That even right now, memories are coming to their mind of things that they did not give up to you, Jesus, this month, this week, the past couple years, whatever it happens to be, Jesus. And we just want to relinquish complete control to you. If that's you and you say, I have my one thing and I know what I want it to be, just raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have that one thing. Don't raise your hand unless you have the one thing. Once you have the one thing, raise your hand. God, I just pray with every single one of these people who have their hands raised, and I ask that you would empower them to give up their one thing, Jesus. I pray that you would empower us as a youth group to be the Zacchaeus, God, that we have joy and excitement as we hand over our one thing to you, as we relinquish control of our lives, Jesus, as we go on to 2020, leaving our one thing behind and being part of what you have for us, just like your word says, not only in this life, but in the life to come, Jesus. And we give you complete trust and complete control. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would help them this month and this year, Jesus, to continue to lay down their one thing daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys so much. I'm going to continue praying for you guys. That 2020 will be a year that we continue to be like the Zacchaeuses. It was a year that we will continue to seek God out and care about serving him more than everything else. And I encourage you, this is just on my heart, I encourage you that if you do not have someone that you call pastor, you're like, yeah, I come to this youth group and you're my pastor because I hear your sermons, but you don't have someone who you actually talk to on a weekly basis, you don't have someone that you talk to on a monthly basis when you're going through hard times, when you need prayer for something. Guys, life is hard, and we were never meant to do it alone. No, the disciples had each other. All of the people in the New Testament running the churches were together. Jesus had his own posse. There's never anyone in the Bible who is supposed to be a lone ranger. And you are not the exception. So I would encourage you that if you want to have this year the best year of your life, one of the ways that you can do that is making sure that you are connected to a youth leader. Make sure that you're connected to a youth pastor so that when you are hit with anxiety, when you are falling into temptation, when you're all falling into depression, when the new school year starts and you're overwhelmed, that you have someone that you can call, someone that you could text and say, will you pray with me? Will you believe with me? That's one of the missions of the church. Is that you would have a body, that you would have fellowship with other believers. So my name is Shayla, if you don't know me, and I'm willing to give you my phone number and always to be there if you need me as the youth pastor of this church. There's other youth leaders, Joel, Isaac, Paul, Pastor Tamara, Daniel, Miranda, Joaquin, lots of youth leaders who wants to, JC, who wants to be here for you and want to help you as you walk out your year in 2020. So we are all gonna be in the hangout. Please don't leave right away. We wanna meet you, especially if it's your first time. I wanna get to know your name, and I want to help get you connected so that you're not fighting this fight alone, amen? With all that being said, please hang out with us in the hangout, and you guys are dismissed.